figure of that. Verse 15, these are still in the parentheses here. He says, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. When I said it was difficult, this is one of those places. Take the word not out. And look what he says. But as the offense, so is also the free gift. That would make sense. But now interject the word not. See, he's saying the gift is not the same as the offense. They're not alike. What's different? Something different about the offense and the gift. Okay, now, the word offense, very important you understand. The word offense means to fall beside. He says the falling beside that Adam did is nothing like the grace that God wrought for you and me. They're not alike. Why? Because the fall was an exercise in weakness. If you will, look back in verse, I think it's verse 7. Scarcely a verse 9. Verse 7. Scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Verse 6 it is. He says, for when we were yet without strength. And that's what I want you to see. Weakness was what Adam exhibited because he fell. His fall was nothing like what Jesus did. Jesus did not come on the scene and accidentally save us. He didn't accidentally justify us. That's what he's saying. He's saying they're not alike. But they are alike in the sense that there's a headship in both of these people. But they're not alike in that the one was wrought in weakness and the other was wrought in strength. When Jesus came in to this earth and he walked on this earth, on this sod that you and I walk on, he walked in this world in complete control. It's an amazing thing. He never blinked. He never one time was shocked or amazed in the sense that you and I would understand those words. He always was on task, on target. He had his sleeves rolled up and he knew what he was here to do. Verse 13 is where he tells us that he... Verse 15 is where we are. He says, the offense is not like the free gift. He says, for if the offense of one... Again, the fall of one, if by that offense many be dead... He says, much more, and this is where the difference is really, he's trying to punctuate, the much more, if one fell down and everybody died after him, he says, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ hath abounded unto many. He's saying, you want to know how your salvation works? You want to know how justification works? You think it doesn't make sense? It may not make sense on the surface, but when you dig deep down on in, it makes perfect sense. Adam stumbled. People died. Everybody died. Jesus came into the world and he brought right up to your door, right up to your footsteps, the opportunity for you to be justified and saved. He did it on purpose. He rolled up his sleeves and he wrought a work on purpose. Totally in contrast to what Adam did. He bumbled it. He messed it up. He had no way to conceive in his mind the impact of what was going to happen when he sinned. It was just him and his wife and they sinned. He had no idea what we were going to see. You know the dark black and white video clips of the Holocaust films, you know, where they're bulldozing bodies into open graves. He had no idea what he was getting us into. He fell, and it was in essence inconceivable how bad what he was going to do was. He didn't do it on purpose to hurt us. There was all kinds of goofiness going on in his brain. We don't know what anything. We can't touch the hem of. But Jesus knew what he was doing, didn't he? When he came on purpose. Came on purpose, had his eyes open. He knew what he had to do. And he says, no man takes my life from me. I lay it down freely. Son of Man came to give his life ransom for many. And the word many is very important because it doesn't say all because not everybody's going to receive him. He's going to use the word all in a minute because it's sufficient, efficacious for all, but not all will receive it. Look at it. Verse 15, we'll read it again just so you remind yourself of the words. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. He says, for if the offense of one, through the offense of one, many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. He has brought grace up, an abundance of grace to many, whoever will receive it. And verse 16 says, and this is another word like he said in verse 15, not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. In other words, these two also are not the same. The one that sinned is not like the one that sacrificed. Okay, they're not alike. How? Why not? In verse 16, he says, the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. And that's where I was saying to you. He went in seeing that there was a whole lot of offenses on the table. Have you ever done that? Where you've kind of looked at a mess that needed to be cleaned up? Huge. I mean, your garage, for instance. Some of you are thinking, oh, you had to bring that up. You know, you look at your garage and you think, you know what? It's a mess. And that's kind of what Jesus did. He looked at our situation and he had seen what had happened up to the flood, wiped it all out, cleaned the slate, brought in the law, and he saw how Israel kept messing up. And it just kept getting worse and worse because now they're doing it in broad daylight, if you will. The law was there. Stark contrast. They're sinning on purpose. They won't believe me. They won't trust me. So when he came into our reality, he came with his eyes open. And so what he's saying in verse 16 is he's saying that the one who sinned didn't have any idea of the conception of what was going to happen, but Jesus did. He says Jesus came in the face of many offenses, and he did it unto justification. He did it to bring justification. So people in our minds, we want to think God could never save me, or I'm not good enough, and what about this, and what about that? God wants you to lay down. He wants to wear you out. Have you ever been worn out? And just said, I give up, I can't do it. God wants you to get there. Our problem is we deceive ourselves. We sit there and think, I'm a pretty good person. We kind of tell ourselves all kinds of soothing things. But the reality is, you and I, we have nothing to offer God. Nothing in my hands I bring, only to the cross I cling. It's all you got. You know those old hymn writers like Rock of Ages, Cleft for Me, you know? That song talks about, could my zeal no respite know? Could my tears forever flow? All for sin could not atone. Thou must say, and thou alone. Folks, that's what they understood because they lived in the shame of their sin daily. You and I, we can turn the radio up. You and I, we can turn the TV on. You and I, we can go into movies, theater, and watch something for 2 hours and deaden our minds. There's all kinds of things you can do. You've got so much opportunity to deaden your mind. And so sometimes you think, man, I'm good. And we put it off. Problem is, it's just like anything else. It doesn't go away just because you ignore it. And what he's saying in this passage is he's saying Jesus came in with his eyes open. He knew there was a whole lot of offenses on the table. And he knew what he had to do. Adam blew it. We all got sin. Death reigned. Jesus came in with a mission. Guess what? Mission accomplished. That's what he's saying. Being justified. Being reconciled. Verse 17 says, for if by, and this is an explanation of why this free gift is of many offenses unto justification. He's saying in verse 17, for if by one man's offense death reigned, one man's fall, death reigned by that one, much more they which receive, and that's the other thing you want to underline, they which receive an abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign. There's that word, reign. Shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Isn't that good? Now, I know this is hard stuff. And you may need to get this down on download and go back and listen to it. But these things are awesome. This is the machinery of what we live upon. We feast upon. Jesus knew what he was doing. Adam messed up, he fell, and everybody died. Doesn't seem fair on the surface. But he was warned, he was told, he had a perfect environment, he had every reason to succeed, and he stepped in. He was better equipped than you or I would have ever been. He was a perfect man. He had a full use of his brain. He was in a perfect environment. There was only one choice. You have thousands of choices every day. I mean, it's amazing. I had a guy I went to school with. He came from Africa. He said, I go in, I don't know what soap to buy. There's 50 of them. Which one do I get? Soap! Same thing with everything you have that you can put your mind around in the day-to-day. You can choose to look at things you shouldn't look at. You can choose to think things you shouldn't think. You can choose to say things you ought not say. You can choose to not apologize when you ought to apologize. You can choose to throw somebody under the bus. You can choose to lift somebody up. You make choices all the time. You can choose not to do things you know you should be doing. And there are abundance of choices. And because of what Adam did, we inherited a sin nature because he got broken at that point. And the Bible says in verse 17, if by that one man's offense death reigned, how much more? And the word much more is very, very powerful in this whole section of parentheses. How much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. You see that word gift of righteousness in verse 17? That's what it is. It's an imputed righteousness. You don't stand before God and say, hey, look what I did. We might do that like our children sometimes did when they were very young and everything was scrawled. I remember Craig brought us a little picture once he drew in Sunday school. And he came in and he says, look, Mom, look what I drew. And she looked at it and all it was a bunch of scribbles on a white paper. And they weren't much scribbles. They were very light scribbles. And she says, well, that's good, honey. What is it? He says, it's a monster. It's a monster. Yeah. Well, honey, I don't see it. He's very, very far away. You can't see him. And that's what you and I do. We go to God and say, look what I did. And when somehow we think we've got it going on, but we know really there's nothing on the page. We got nothing. And so we justify, well, he's very far away. No, see, guys, we got nothing. It's a gift of righteousness. And that's an awesome gift, isn't it? It's a gift of grace and of righteousness. And he just says, I love you so much. Let me. You ever said that to your kids? Let me. I'll do that. I know that's hard for you. God says you can't. He said we were weak back in verse 6. We were yet without strength. Adam fell out of weakness. Jesus steps in with all the strength possible because he was deity incarnate. And the Bible says he gives us the gift of grace. And it's the gift of grace. And it makes it possible for you and me to reign. And you have no real idea on the surface. It's very hard for us to get our minds around it. But what Jesus did was so complete that we right now reign with him on this earth. We will reign in a full and a visible way in the millennial kingdom. But right now, if you could see what the angels see in you as a believer who's been redeemed, you'd be tempted to bow down and worship. One writer said that years ago, and I had to put my mind around that and think about it. That's powerful. Because the reality is, you are the majestic ones who know Christ. You walk on this earth clothed. If you could see, you know, we got so much cinematic stuff that you can kind of get your mind around. If you could just see the robes, the white flowing and the glow of your face, because you are God's child, it would blow your mind. You want justification, Scripture? The Bible says in chapter 3 of Ephesians that you and I are right now seated with Christ in the heavenly places. Far above principalities and powers, right now, seated with him. And yet we walk around, you know, kind of struggling. Why do we struggle? Because we don't dig in and say, what did he say right there? He said, it was a gift of righteousness. He imputes it to you. You're in, being reconciled, being justified. You're going to glory. You're on your way. Being saved. Being. That's who you are. And when you understand it, the reason for our message's title this morning, Lords of Life, comes into view, doesn't it? He says, you will reign. I got one writer who I really love the way he put it because I was all over this and I'm thinking, this is so good. This is so good. I'm starting to crystallize some of this. And he wrote it so well when he put it this way. He says, mortality, meaning people dying, he says, mortality brings home to men sin's domination, doesn't it? Sin wins. Seems like it wins every time. He says, mortality brings home to men sin's domination. Christ's grace triumphantly reverses the effects of Adam's fall, turning the slaves of death, listen to this, into